Good morning. My name is John Waits, and I'm a curate here at St. Margaret's in Chipstead. And delighted that you can join us for the Book of Common Prayer, Holy Communion. We start with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The prayer of preparation. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The summary of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We now have the collect, followed by the readings. And after that we'll have the creed. For the 12th Sunday after Trinity, one of my favourite collects. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever.
The New Testament reading, Philemon, verses 1 to 21. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Appia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I might have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confidence of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 25. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able to, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples.
We say our creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now we have the sermon.
Hello. Today we've heard two readings in our service. One is a letter from Paul to Philemon, and the other is from Luke's Gospel. And so I'm going to try and unpack some of the messages from the Bible today. According to a Bible commentary, Philemon was the leader of a house church and appears to have been the owner of a slave, Onesimus, who had run away from him, having apparently absconded with some of his belongings. Onesimus somehow had come into contact with Paul and had become a Christian, and Paul now viewed him as his spiritual child rather than as a slave. Onesimus is a changed man and recognises that it's his Christian duty to return to his master, Philemon. But this return carries a considerable hazard, as there were severe penalties for slaves who had defected, including the death sentence. Paul's letter to Philemon is a plea for leniency. And in fact, Paul seems to suggest more than leniency. He is expecting Philemon to accept or to receive Onesimus in a new way, as a brother instead of a slave. in the same manner that he would soon welcome Paul himself. Let's listen to the Message version of that passage. In line with all that I've said to you, I have a favour to ask of you. As Christ's ambassador and now a prisoner for him, I wouldn't hesitate to command this if I thought it necessary, but I'd rather make it a personal request. While here in jail, I've fathered a child, so to speak, and here he is, hand-carrying this letter, Onesimus. He was useless to you before, now he's useless to both of us. I'm sending him back to you, but it feels like I'm cutting off my right arm in doing so. I wanted in the worst way to keep him here as your stand-in to help out while I'm in jail for the message, but I didn't want to do anything behind your back or make you do a good deed that you hadn't willingly agreed to. Maybe it's all for the best that you lost him for a while. You're getting him back now for good, and no mere slave this time, but a true Christian brother. That's what he was to me. He will be even more than that to you. And so, if you'll still consider me a comrade in arms, welcome him back as you would me. If he damaged anything or owes you anything, chalk it up to my account. This is my personal signature, Paul, and I stand behind it. Do me this big favour, friend, and you'll be doing it for Christ, but it will also do my heart good. Now, if you heard last week's reading from the Gospel of Luke and Andrew's sermon, it spoke of the first being last and the last being first, that those who raised themselves in the pecking order would be considered lower status, while those of lower standing would receive greater favour. And I hear echoes of this within Paul's plea for Philemon to hold Onesimus the slave on the same footing as a revered guest. And please indulge me in a little sidestep so that we can appreciate Paul's gift as an author, as he clearly enjoys some wordplay with the name of Onesimus, which means useful. And he says in verse 11 that formerly Onesimus was useless, but now he has become useful to both Paul and Philemon. It amused me. Stepping back into the message, in case we're distracted by the issue of slavery, I'd like to stress that this passage must be viewed through the lens of the first century culture, where slavery was an integral part of society. And while Christians couldn't hope to instigate the abolition of slavery in the face of such deep-rooted practices, they could set an example to transform the system from within, treating their servants as kin, holding them as family, rather than denigrating their human rights and values. So let's consider now the passage from Luke, entitled The Cost of Being a Disciple. It follows on from last week's reading about guests picking the place of honour at the table, and another parable about a banquet where the invited guests were too busy to attend. So the owner of the house sent his servant out to welcome in those who would normally be hidden in the back streets or rejected by the community, the blind, the poor, the crippled. This week, Jesus is laying out the cost of being a disciple. The language in the NIV version sounds harsh and demanding to our ears. If anyone does not hate father or mother, wife or children, brother or sister, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Taken literally, this appears to go against the very truth of the Bible, which cries from almost every page that God is love. An example from John's first letter, chapters 3 and 4. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. It goes on to say we cannot love God and hate our brother. And this is a contrast to what we've just heard. If you don't hate father and mother, brother and sister, you can't be my disciple. So I turn back to the Message translation of the Bible again to help me unpack what's behind the scripture. Jesus turned and told the people, "Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brother, sisters, yes, even one's own self, can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow me can't be my disciple. Is there anyone here who, planning to build a new house, doesn't first sit down and figure out the cost so you'll know if you can complete it? If you only get the foundation laid and then run out of money, you're going to look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you. He started something he couldn't finish. Or can you imagine a king going into battle against another king without first deciding whether it's possible with his 10,000 troops to face the 20,000 troops of the other? And if he decides he can't, won't he send an emissary and work out a truce? Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. If you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. I have to be honest, I'm not sure I like that any better. But let's take a communal deep breath and try and hear what Jesus is saying. In this passage, Jesus is challenging the crowds to think through their enthusiasm for following him. Jesus is saying that loving God is not an easy option. It's highly likely to be costly. The only reason you carry your own cross was to your own execution. For people of other faiths who turn to follow Christ, it can still result in a great cost. Loss of job, loss of family, and yes, loss of life. And as much as it's important to enter into any project with your eyes wide open, whether building extension or managing conflict, so it is equally important to understand the cost of following a godly path. It will probably mean being countercultural. It will probably mean challenging injustice. It will probably mean not just ticking a box in a survey, but actually getting our hands dirty and getting involved in a practical way, in so much as we're able. Some of us, but not all, may feel called to change jobs, to serve others in a new way and perhaps a more costly way. Whatever it may look like for any of us, and I'm not going to make any suggestions as it will be different for each of us, it's highly likely to involve a challenge. So, what is our take-home message from this week? Let's first acknowledge that the way God speaks to us through the Bible is hugely influenced by our life experiences, by our daily encounters, and by, among a myriad of other things, our needs, both physical and emotional, at any given time. What I hear from today, and you may hear something entirely different, and that's absolutely okay, is that it's important to hold on to our stuff lightly, our status, our belongings, our plans, our relationships, just as Paul held lightly onto his valued and beloved assistant, Onesimus. As we heard earlier, God is love, and he will not ask us to give up our family and security without a very good reason. But there is a need to hold God in a position of honour, to recognise him as the ultimate host of the heavenly banquet to which we've all been invited. And while on one hand we give up our earthly rights to the things we consider ours, our stuff, we retain our kinship as children of God. We have our eyes wide open to the knowledge that our standing as children of God comes with a call to live our lives in alignment with heavenly values. Our ears tuned to the message that still pours from the Bible, set out so clearly in the Gospels. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. You cannot love God wholeheartedly if you reserve the best of your love for yourself and for your stuff. If you're raising yourself and your stuff higher in the pecking order than God. Loving God with all your heart and passion and intelligence and loving others as well as you love yourself means that you do your best to see the world through God's eyes and to act with God's love. You're unlikely to go far wrong thinking of God first as you count to 10 before acting impulsively. And when I say you, I mean me in that also. St. Francis of Assisi was onto something with his prayer not to seek to be consoled or loved or understood more than he himself consoled or loved or understood others. But I'd like to finish with a prayer from St. Ignatius Loyola, who concentrates the message I've just said into a few small lines. And if you feel so called, please do join with me. Dearest Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labour and not ask for reward, save that of knowing I am doing your will. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother or sister have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Our intercessions. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and especially thy servant Elizabeth, our Queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto her whole council and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We take a moment to bring before God those whom we would especially commend to him today. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins of wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who with great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you. And you respond, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We say together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. You might take a moment now to get some bread and some wine so that you can take this in a spiritual fashion. We know we can't take it physically together, but we can join together spiritually. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, through thy tender mercy, didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his Holy Gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. Deborah, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy body by thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is also the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. We join together in worshipping God in the words of the Gloria. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory, O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father, Amen. So may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love, be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.